Morning. All right. Thanks. It's good to have John down in the front row again. Hey, good morning to you who are here. Good morning to you who are joining us online. And just for being here, and it's always good to get together for worship. I want to tell you, the worship team is sounding fantastic. The last several weeks, it's really been, as they've adapted to kind of this new space and the just kind of some new dynamics, they are doing phenomenal. So I want to thank them for sure. I hope also that you guys are excited about some of these opportunities that we have. With the high school, I'm going to take some technical difficulty time here. The partnership that we have with the high school, we are really excited about. That is something that we have been looking forward to developing with whether it's Cole Middle School across the street or with the high school, but getting involved with the schools in the area so that we can be tied in with the families that are directly in our area as well. And so that has been an exciting thing. And so do go to the website, cccov.org, how you might be able to get involved there. Am I dropping in and out? I don't know what that is. Is BJ around? But anyway. So, and then it goes kind of crazy loud, doesn't it? Well, okay. Well, we'll keep going, and we have our tech team on it. Okay, you guys ready? So this is the final kind of installment of this series we've been on the last 8 weeks. And what we've been looking at is we've been looking at trying to put into place practices that will help us get aligned better with what God is doing in our lives to make us more like Jesus, okay? And so we've been looking at those things, and I don't know if you've noticed, but they actually build on one another. It's kind of like a journey that we go on, and so this is a significant week that we are in to kind of wrap this up, and this is by no means the end of the journey. This is just kind of the end of that first phase that we talked about, the first kind of 8 steps, and I want us to really seriously lock into those things and try and make those a regular rhythm and part and pattern of our lives. Amen? Okay, so this week, start out. How many of you in this place would consider yourself experts when it comes to investments? Anybody? We have a couple of hands kind of moderately go up, right? Right? Okay, I'm not in that category. You know, but I want you to think about something, because most of the time when we talk about investments, we're talking about money, right? But the truth is that in what I want us to do, I want us to think a little bit more broadly than that today, because the truth is an investment is anytime you take any resource you have, whether that's money, whether it's time, whether it's your creativity, whether it's your brain power, whether it's your physical effort, any resource you have, and you invest it in some way into a project, you put it to use, you put them to use to accomplish something that you feel is worthwhile or valuable to accomplish or to attain that thing, right? That's an investment. I'm going to say that again a little bit more simply. An investment is any time we take any resource we have and we put it to use in order to accomplish something that we feel, that we consider valuable or worthwhile. All right? That's what we do every day of our lives, every one of us. We take what we have and we invest it in something to accomplish something we feel is worthwhile. So we invest in our work because we want to build a better kind of future situation for ourselves, whether that's we're working towards buying a home or buying a car or paying the bills or just taking care of our family. We invest in our work. We invest in the college that we choose to go to build, to prepare for a career. We invest in the friends that we have and the relationships that we have. We pour our time and our energy into our children because we consider it worthwhile and valuable that they grow up and that they're successful, that they are happy, that they are confident. These are all things. So an investment An investment is any time that we take any of those resources and we invest them in a way in something we consider worthwhile or valuable. So really, all life is a matter of investing who we are and what we have in the things in order to attain and to accomplish the things we believe are most valuable. Okay? And who doesn't do that? We all do that every day of our lives. So the question is, what does it take to make a good investment? What are some of maybe the keys to making a good investment? Well, the first is this: we need to have good information, right? And so we may get that from a friend, we may get that from a teacher, we may get that from a parent, we may get that from a financial advisor, we might get that from a website or a book, you might even get that from a pastor every once in a while, right? But we need good information, but we need to make sure that that person that we get the information from, that they are an expert in the information we need. For example, I will never be counseling you on how to set up retirement accounts any more than I will counsel you on how to go about brain surgery. Those are not my areas. On the other hand, today we're talking about how we can make some spiritual investments in some of the things that God is calling to us and some of the light, in the ways that the life that God is calling us to. And I do know some things about that. That is what God has led me into, to pour my life into so that I can share that with you. So I will be talking about those things. So first of all, you need good information. Second of all, you want to make sure that you're minimizing the risk. A good investment is one where you have the least amount of risk, right? So the more certainty that you can have that your investment is going to pay off in a good way, the better. The problem is that certainty is hard to come by. But you try to minimize the risk. The third thing is this: a good investment is one that is actually accessible to you. Now, for example, if somebody came up to me and they said, you know what, an expert in the field came up and say, I can give you an absolute guarantee, no risk involved, absolute guarantee that your money will triple, the return will be tripled if you will invest the initial $10 million. Well, I don't have $10 million. So that investment is not accessible to me. And there are some investments that are just beyond our reach, or they're outside of what we can attain. What I want to talk about today is an investment strategy that has been put forward by a notable expert, God, right? He knows something about investment in life. He has given it to us, and it comes with absolutely no risk, minimal risk, no risk, because he has backed it up with a promise. He said, this is actually going to, if you invest in this way, you will get this return. And the third thing is that he has made it accessible to all of us. So this is actually one of the best kind of investments. You know who the expert is, you know what the return is, that it's guaranteed, there's no risk, and you know that it's accessible to you. And it's concerning something that I know that every single one of us wants, that we look for in our lives, and that is peace. We're looking for satisfaction, for contentment, for confidence in life. And especially now, we're looking for peace. And it's something that not only do we look for, but did you know that this is something that God guarantees? God tells us that he can guarantee peace in our lives if we will invest in the way that he recommends. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're in this series, we're talking about ways that we build practices into our lives that may help us to better align with what God is doing to make us more like Jesus. And this practice of investing in our lives, the strategy for gaining greater satisfaction is and greater peace in our lives, is one of those practices. In the verse that was read at the beginning of this message, in Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, request, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And then it goes on in verse 7, and it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. If you do this, verse 6, prayer and thanksgiving, then you will receive this, peace, confidence, satisfaction, the peace of God. Guaranteed. God guarantees that he will, if we do this, he will grant this. It doesn't matter if there's a pandemic going on. He says, still, my peace. It doesn't matter if we find ourselves at home and we're trying to carry on in this full-time job at the same time that we're trying to help our kids get through school. It doesn't matter. He says, if you invest this way, my peace is available. It doesn't matter if we're looking for a job. It doesn't matter if we're facing some of those and struggling with some of those kind of inside, those interior demons of depression or anxiety or addiction or anger, or it doesn't matter. He says, if you will invest in this way, the peace of God is guaranteed. Well, that sounds like a good investment to make, doesn't it? So what is the investment he asked for? The investment is found simply, it's one word that's there in Philippians 4, verse 6. Thanksgiving. It says, if you invest in thanksgiving, in giving thanks, then the peace of God will guard your heart and mind. You know, at the end of this month, we're going to celebrate a holiday that we've given the name Thanksgiving. We've given it this name, but in our lives, and particularly in this year, right? It's been kind of hard to find things to be thankful about. And it can be those things, all of those pressures. You know, we have the economy that's threatening to shut down again. We have the political turmoil that's threatening to ramp up again. We have the interracial tensions and those things that are not resolving well. We also have all the personal baggage that we've been carrying this whole time anyway. And all of that kind of mugs us at times. And around this time of year, it's like, I'm not sure I have a whole lot. The first things that come to mind are thankfulness sometimes, right? If we're being honest. Are we being honest? Okay. So we can go through Thanksgiving and we can kind of go through the motions, right? We just say the words. We say, I'm thankful for this great food. You know, I'm thankful for a wonderful day. I'm so thankful to live in this place. And we kind of throw some stuff out there, but we're not getting at thankfulness, as God's talking about it, a truly thankful heart, and then the words express what's in our heart. We don't dig into that. But God says, if you will learn how to invest in this one thing. So sure, bring your prayers, bring your supplications, bring your requests, bring your concerns. Learn how to invest in this one thing, gratitude. Gratitude that comes from the heart, and you will find a peace that will go beyond that conscious comprehension. It goes beyond our comprehension, and that comprehension that causes all that apprehension that then rules our lives. If we will learn how to invest in this. So what does sincere gratitude look like and how do we develop it? Well, gratitude depends on having the right equation in our lives. Having things, they're the same components, but putting them in the right order. Many times we think that gratitude and thankfulness comes from an equation like this. We have things that we desire and we find that we gain a lot of them. And so that means we have a lot of things to be thankful for. That's what makes us happy, and that's what causes thanksgiving. Well, that's the wrong equation. God says it doesn't work that way. He says, instead, start with thanksgiving. Look around at what you do have and express thanksgiving for that. Learn how to be grateful for what is right in front of you. What that leads to is seeing what you have for the treasure that it is. Many people who have a lot never recognize the treasure that they have because they're looking too much around to find out what they're missing. And God says, start with the thankfulness because it will teach you to understand and see the blessing that you already have. And out of that comes contentment and happiness. And actually, that contentment and happiness leads to that peace. And what they have found and what God has said is actually is that peace leads to greater success and greater opportunity. So instead of looking for the desire and for the things you don't have yet, looking for opportunities you don't have yet, he says, be thankful, lead with thankfulness. So the question is, which of these, which is actually first in our lives? Are we thankful? Are we thankful to God for what we have? Or are we looking, are we leading with the desire of what we don't have yet? Because God says in that, you will never find peace. Gratitude always comes from being truly thankful for what we have here and now. What we find is that if we are thankful for what we have now, that comes from actually an optimism about where God is going to bring us. That we know what we have is what we need. That we know that he will give us everything that we need. And so we have what we need, and we can count on him giving us what we need for the future. So we're not concerned about the future. And he says, if we find that contentment in the present from the optimism about the future, we find that what comes along is a reconciliation with the past. And what a lot of us are trying to do is trying to reconcile with our past. For example, God says, you know what, right now, you have my son, Jesus. You have him. And what that means is that you can count on that you're going to be with me in the future. You have nothing to worry about in the future. What it also means is that I've taken care of your past. That's why you have him right now. Amen? He says, you know what? James 1 says, you have challenges. He says, and count it all joy when you face challenges. Because what that means is that in the future, you can count on having character, greater character, character that looks more and more like Jesus. Because you have the challenges right now. And you can also know, because that you are going to have this character that's more like Jesus, you're being transported into his image, that all that stuff that you were concerned about, you know how we go into challenges, we go into trials and temptations. You know, we go into those things and we start wondering, man, does God not love me anymore? Is that why this is going on? He says, because of the challenges, you can know that I'm shaping you to be like Jesus. And because of that, you can know that I'm taking care of that past that makes you wonder whether I love you or not. We're reconciled with our past. He says over and over, thankfulness in the present and hopefulness for the future because of what we see in the present is what then also gives us assurance and reconciliation in our past. We have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to be thankful for. The question is that what we're focused on? Are we too busy thinking about what we've missed out on, what we were robbed of, how they kept us from what we deserve, instead of saying, God, thank you for what I have right now? You know, there's actually been a lot of studies that have been done on gratitude. And I want to read for you, because what they found is that even if you don't pair it up with spirituality and with scripture and with prayer and with God and with Jesus, what they found is that people who are genuinely gracious and grateful for what they have in this life, there are immense, enormous benefits that they have in their lives. Listen to what they found. Gratitude helps us to be more social and have more connections with more people. Why? Well, there's a couple of reasons. One, because we're not so worried about people taking away of our opportunities or our stuff. Also, because people who are grateful, they tend to be more positive, and they tend to be the people that are looking for what is good in the moment or in the person that they're facing. And so everybody wants to hang out with somebody that's going to look for the good in you, right? So people come to them. Gratitude helps us be more social. Gratitude helps us be more kind to others. Since we see how much we have and how much we have to share already, gratitude helps us to manage what we have better because we're not constantly not looking for what we're missing. We're paying attention to what we actually have so that we use it well, so that we are managing it well, investing it well. Gratitude helps us be less materialistic. Gratitude helps us be less self-centered. It leads to deeper relationships, more contentment in our friendships. It helps us be more spiritually oriented, because we're not just looking at this world. We're counting on, gratitude. If you're going to be grateful for what you have to count on. It's so tied into optimism about the future, which means that most people start leaning towards, well, that's where we have to depend on God to take care of the future. I can't take care of my own future, but I'm going to trust that God will. Gratitude increases our productivity. It improves our decision-making because we focus on what's in front of us. It makes us less envious. It makes us more resilient. We actually recover quicker from downfalls because we are grateful for where we are and what we have, and we're optimistic that God wouldn't lead me here unless it was leading to a better place. We're more relaxed in the moment. It makes us happier experiences in the present, which then give us happier memories in the future. It actually helps us sleep better. It helps us to exercise more, because life is now worth living and staying alive for. We are less sick. We live longer because of gratitude. They have actually found that people who are bitter find themselves getting less and less and less. Less friends, less opportunities, less happiness. Whereas people who are grateful are people that actually have more and more and more. Not because they're seeking the more, but because they're actually investing in the gratitude. And that just, these are not church studies, right? But they're saying that gratitude actually brings friendship. Gratitude brings opportunity. Gratitude brings peace and happiness. Again, is that a practice worth investing in? I think it might be. Now, often, often we'll take a topic like this and we'll say, that sounds like a lot of psychology, right? Sounds like a lot of self-help, just feel good stuff. You guys, I cannot tell you how serious God is about being grateful. Do you know that one of the main charges that he laid at Israel's feet when they were wandering through the wilderness was how much they complained? That was the thing he kept bringing. The golden calf thing, he was willing to forgive this. He was willing, but he said, this complaining thing is going to kill you. That was the thing that irritated him the most, because it kept them from being optimistic about where he was leading them, and it kept them from seeing what he was actually doing in the moment. God would literally rain bread from heaven, and they said, yeah, but there's no meat. Yeah, but he literally rained bread from heaven and brought water out of a rock in the middle of a desert. Yeah, but I really wanted roast beef. And he said, I just can't do a whole lot about people with that type of an attitude. God is serious about gratitude. I want us to really think twice about considering this just kind of a lighter type of a message. I think there are reasons why this message is so true in those studies that they have made. One, the God who made this world is all about gratitude, and he set up a world where gratitude actually is more beneficial than complaining. Gratitude is better than griping. And God designed that world. Why? Because when we read scripture, we find out because God's own nature and his own heart is a fullness. It's full of gratitude. And how do we know? You think about, God doesn't have anything to be grateful about. Who's he going to thank? Okay, but let's look at God when he put human skin on and he lived with us. Jesus. When he was walking around, if you read in scripture, you find that he was in this world, same world we live in, throws him a curveball, lets him down all the time. He's betrayed. He is crucified. Most of us don't have to go through that level of stuff, right? But in the midst of that world, that same world we know, he's regularly saying, God, I thank you. I thank you that you have revealed these things to these children. I thank you that you hear me when I speak to you. I thank you, God, that you, just before the cross, he says, I thank you because you're about to glorify me. Wow. So God's heart, God has a grateful nature. And that's why he says gratitude is worth investing in. That's why we have verses like Philippians 4:6. God takes gratitude seriously. So what does it mean to put gratitude into practice? I want to give us three things. Three? Nope, four things. Four things to practice. And really the first two are the practice, or the main, or the bulk of it. First is this. Learn how to, in your conversation with God, right? I hope that you guys have a regular conversation with God that's going on all the time. You can talk to him anytime. He's listening. He's talking back. But in that conversation, let your practice be giving thanks in all circumstances. Not for the circumstances, but in all circumstances. Amen? So give thanks. It may be, God, I thank you for this great opportunity. It may be, God, I'm not sure how this is going to work out for the good, but I know it's going to, because you're God. And you're always bringing me to a good place. You've promised it. I'm your child. Amen? Giving thanks in all circumstances. Second is this. Dig until you find what you're actually thankful for. Don't just say the words. Don't just say, thank you, God, for this person opening their door into the side of my door at Walmart. You're not thankful for that. So don't act like you're somehow saying the words is going to make you thankful for that. But dig until you do find. God, I'm not so thankful for the person whose door opened it, but I really am thankful that I have this car. I'm thankful that I am at Walmart because I had to buy groceries, and you've given me the ability to buy groceries and a place to buy them so that I can take care of my family. I'm thankful that this car isn't the most important thing to me, because I am thankful for my family, for my kids, for my... thank you, God. Thank you for a relationship with you that I can actually be talking. When you start digging for what you're actually thankful for, you'd be amazed at how much you'll find that's there. Don't just write it off with simple words. Okay? Now, the third one is a tweak on this. Write it down. Start the day thanking God, writing down, saying, God, I thank you for this day and the opportunities I see, doors that I already see open, opportunities that I know are going to be there. Thank you for just being able to wake up to that. And then at the end of the day, write down, God, thank you for the ways that I saw things actually happen. The ways I saw you show up, the things that I walked through and I didn't expect, or I did expect, and they worked out the way that I hoped that they would. Write it down. Keep a journal, because sometimes we got to go back and we got to remember, oh yeah, that was actually a good week, right? That was a great day. Finally, learn to thank others. It's easy to thank God. God's good. Never changes. Sometimes it's harder to thank others, because we tend to be a little bit more fickle, right? But thank others when someone does something that truly impacts your life, that changes, that shapes you to be, God uses them. Thank them for that. Learn how to thank even those who may be a challenge to you. That's the biggest hurdle, right? Learn how to thank those, you know, I want to thank you because you made me think about things a little bit differently. You don't have to tell them all the details of it. But learning how to find the good and that blessing, that gift that is in every moment, in every person, and that's a challenge. I want to tell you, I get challenged by that. You guys know that. Anybody that knows me knows that. We don't always lean to gratitude and positive thinking about other people or anything else. But God says, if we will invest in that, invest in this and make it a practice in our life, we will have his peace. And that's what we're looking for. Amen?